Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Dr. Brass Stacks. You're on the air.
Hello, morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, what I have to say, I am a supporter of this present administration. I commend the Prime Minister and her people for the good work she's doing, because we all know some very hard decisions had to be made to support and to recover this island. And I'm very proud that she's also looking to protect the vulnerable people. So that is very commendable. But on the other hand, I feel that there is a need for a opposition. I see the opposition as intervening on the public's behalf. I see him as speaking, like, for instance, if you feel well, the $70 departure tax that had been added on, don't you feel that would affect the people too much? Because we all know that that traveling is a very expensive undertaking, please. Thank you. Yeah, so I believe he's doing a very good job, and he needs to be commended. There's no need to try to embarrass this man in public and try to make him feel small by saying that he had to be taking advice from another person. This is supposed to be a democratic society. Mm-hmm. Liberation is being free from the expectation of others. Yes. So sometimes we make hard decisions, and sometimes others can't understand it. But he, as a preacher, well, he should understand how these things is happening, sometimes choices that we make. And I encourage him to be strong and to don't step down from the deceit. Don't step down from, so there will be a by-election. Regardless of what he do, keep that seat, and I encourage the people of Barbados to support him. He's doing a very good job, and it's much needed.
Oh, down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Gill. How are you this morning?
Doing well, thank you.
Yes. I would just like to say, because I don't want to target an individual or individuals, what I would say, I listened to the program this morning, and I would like those persons who support the former administration to sit down and face reality and realize the state and the position that Barbados is in at this time. And look at the fact that the present administration has done more in the last 15 days than they did in 10 years. And if they want to face the reality at where we are at, instead of trying to pull down everything that the present administration is trying to do, they should follow everything that is going on a day-by-day basis. And this will include, rather than sitting down in verandas and different places and having their own say on things which they create, come back and go in to the gallery at Parliament and listen to the things that confront this country today that this present administration has to face up to. And to pull down the budget and what is going on, I would like them to recognize this, that within a matter of weeks or so, we will get about 15 second-hand garbage trucks coming into Barbados to help fill in the spot and help collect the garbage in this country, which we have problems collect because we don't have any garbage trucks. There are a myriad of things that would have transpired and was taken on within the last 15 days of this present administration that wasn't done in 10 years that they should sit back and come to the country and apologize. And when you go into Parliament and you hear the things that are revealing there, as Barbadians, we should be proud to say that we have an administration now that realizes that dialogue with the people of this country and getting everybody to try to get the country out of the position that it is in, because Barbados is in on its deathbed. And if you can have over $2 billion and things like this, where you would have had spent and going down the line with nothing to show, you got real problems, and you would have had the opportunity of running an administration that would have collected more collect more taxes and things like that in this country than any other administration. What has happened? And you would have, if you look in, you will see that the present government now have reached a stage where accountability has to come into play, because they are listening now to the people of the country, because the people of the country now understanding the position that Barbados is in. It's calling for somebody to be held accountable. And I believe, as a Barbadian, who will now have to bear some more pain in trying to save this country from where it was placed by the last administration, that somebody, something has to be done, that we start to get some people to be held accountable for the present state. And I have a grave difficulty when those same people will come on the radio in the hills and valleys and try to fight and demean the things that is being done now by this present administration in a few days when they destroyed this country over the past 10 years. That's all I have to say, Ms. Gale. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your contribution. This is Dr. Brastax. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mrs. Gale.
Hi, good morning, sir.
Now, you know, this is the second time for the week I call this program, and it's something that I really don't like to do, especially coming back to back. Only time I would do it is if I could get David DeManda and Peter the Chooser, because those are the two moderators I really like to talk to. But I really called this morning because, to be quite honest with you, I don't believe in all this long talk and asking the Democrat Labour Party supporters not to vent their feelings about what took place on Monday. Because, to be quite honest with you, I believe we should give them the opportunity to come and vent. Because what I'm hearing coming true from them all, it comes across as though they're still shell shocked from that massive defeat. So I believe we need to sympathize with them a little, come and get the pressure off their head. So that is why this morning is going to be very short. That is why I'm not making long contributions. I'm waiting till they come in full force, and then I will deal with each and every one of them. So I believe, say this morning, again, I was just called to make two reminders to them. And that was to your first two callers. Do you remember who those callers were?
One person mentioned the comments by the acting prime minister, and then the other person talked about the taxi.
Correct.
The taxi
and that person
measure.
This first person, you always have a son, university fella, who always engaged with them. I don't know where this fella has come from. He sent me on the program. He told about this university fella. And his question was about the water rates, the increase in the water rates. And I want to remind not only them, but the whole of Barbados, that the same Democratic Labour Party that they support, the two callers are speaking about and their supporters, that this country was saddled with a 60% increase by the Democratic Labour Party, which doubles or almost triples the bills of the people who pay water rates. And the reason for that where they were saying that it was to replace old water mains throughout the length and breadth of this country. They did some work in St. Philip, and about 5 water mains were dug up. Because they claimed the water mains throughout Barbados was over 100 years old, and it needed to be replaced. That's why we were saddled with a 60% increase water rate. And I live in St. Michael, and up to this day, I have not seen one single old water main replaced. But yet, we were saddled with a 60% increase in water rates. So I would advise them to steer clear when they're speaking about an increase that was now implemented on Monday. You know when I would complain about the increase, Ms. Gale? I would complain within another couple of months, and I have not seen any garbage trucks in Barbados, and I continuously the large pile up of garbage throughout the length and breadth of this country, is then I will begin to question the increase in my water rates. So much for that. The taxi man, he complained about the increase that they were having to pay at the pumps, and I'm going to be very short on this particular one. I don't think he has any reason to be complaining because the taxi drivers have already jacked up their rates to the visitors of this country. Because I witnessed in my own 2 eyes, and I mentioned this already on the call-in program, a visitor was next to Woolworth, and he flagged down a taxi. The taxi driver asked him where you want to go. The man said, the Bridgeton Port. And you know what the taxi man tells him? 20 of your dollars. That's $40 billion to take him from Woolworth to the Bridgeton Port, which to my mind is very unreasonable. So he has no reason to be complaining about the increase that he will pay on the pumps. I thank you very much.
Thank you for your contribution. This is Dr. Brass Talks. Good morning. You're on the air. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, madam. I just want to ask a question. Now, if our dollar is devalued, how would our people fare when it comes to paying our utility bills and all those things that are very essential to us? I would like someone to tell me, at least to answer that question for me.
Okay.
I thank you very much.
Thank you. If the dollar was devalued, this is Dr. Brass Talks. Dr. Brass Talks, good afternoon. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon to you. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
I just want to get to the point quick, right? The whole morning, there have been some people who seem to not to remember certain things and have been accusing this new government of several things, which is true. In fact, they have a right to. But some persons have got to remind these people of some things that they need to answer. They should not be resting and drinking the whiskey and the wine and everything unless they're confronted with some of these questions I'm going to ask Toby Scale. And I'm sure you would remember that when that government came to power, they had a big ceremony at Kensington Oval. And we were told that we would get fruits from the islands. And Prime Minister's carrot was in the audience. He said at that time, we haven't gotten those fruits. We were told that the civil servants would be able to borrow money and own motor cars. And that have not been put in place. Far from that, they have not even received the increases that were due to them. We were told that the economy is extremely well, but we have been faced after with almost 23, not 22 or 21, lowdowns. They call them lowdowns, right? And we have been faced with a national stadium, who in true of fact was handed over, which is now closed. We were told that Kensington Oval would have been a white elephant. I am sure that people today can still see that Kensington Oval has not turned the white elephant that they said it would have turned. You know, when you hear these people complaining about a government that had gone into power just 15 days ago, and they promised this country things and went, the only thing that we can say that they have done is to left this country with people calling them. People accuse them of being the worst government that this country have ever had. People accuse them of being the wealthiest politicians that have ever come out of this country. People accuse them of a group of people who have done nothing, have laid off 3,500 people one way, have given contracts to people in this country to dismantle the progress of people in this country. And I can hear today people picking up a phone, people that catching for breath, because all they can say is catching for breath. They're catching for breath. The reason why they're catching for breath, somewhere along the line, I'm surprised that some of them have not found the doctor to get some heart respiration that. So they're using the calling program and using the calling program, accusing government when they not remember. I'm saying, let's not forget. Let's not forget the guy that was pulled in parliament that nothing, nobody was faced any charges about. Let's remember the type of government that we had for the last 10 years. That is what we have to remember. And one must understand fully that nowhere in the campaign of the Democratic Labour Party will they tell any of our listeners that they would have taken us, the IMF, to take us out of this situation that we're in. Nowhere. Nowhere. So what are we doing? Wait, I'm going to call now on the Barbarous Labour Party supporters like myself. We cannot defend the Barbarous Labour Party unless we throw those apples back in those people's face. You have to throw it back in their faces, because if you do not remind them, they will continue to drive the Audis, they will continue to drive the Mercedes-Benz, they will continue to live the lifestyle that they live in. When it's too far, you have got to pay water rates increase. You have got to pay these taxes, because what? Because you put a government in place who did not care about you, who care about themselves. So stop going after them. Remind them. Tell them exactly what they have done to this country. And Ms. Gellar, sure, you know that what they've done to this country. They have done so many things to this country that they should not even recall a government. They should be from one of those streets in Chicago. One of those streets where in the Barbarous Labour Party with a group of people that in true fact cannot come and give answers for anything. It is unnecessary. And I'm going to say to all the Barbarous Labour Party supporters, let's sit back and analyze what we had for the last 10 years. Let's sit back and look at where the country went for the last 10 years. All sports, people had no place to train. Stadiums shut down. All footballers had no place. Had not for people like the Football Association and FIFA, we would not have been recognized in the world in any sports at all. In any sports at all. But pick up a whole group of world tennis players, carry them overseas, and today wanted the position with the World Tennis Association. Just for the advancement of one individual to that he's projecting world tennis, and world tennis could have been further, much further than it is. Lord have mercy, we need to come together. We need to understand that somewhere along the line we have been used. Ms. Gale, we have been used. Tell the people why you have used us. Tell the people where you are. No, nobody can find them. They don't know if they're at Pelican Island. There's no Pelican Island. They don't know if they're overseas. They don't know if they're in Kitts. They don't know if they're in Jerusalem. We need to know where you've gone. We need to be able for you to face us and tell us exactly we did it on purpose, we are sorry, or we didn't do it, but don't just let your callers call and try to defend you. Ms. Gale, thank you. Huh?
Thank you so much for your contribution. We have a couple of WhatsAppers here. Some people are saying that the callers seem to be thinking that this is still election time. We are past elections. Why all the canvassing? Let us try to see how we can improve the economy. And then other discussions on Joseph Avely, then some discussions on... I haven't seen any discussions at all on the common entrance. I haven't seen any discussions on the... Well, particularly, yeah, this is bombarded today by a lot of this body saying this B did this and a D did this and that type of scenario. This is Down to Brass Tacks here on the air.
Good morning. Good morning.
You're on the air. Please go ahead.
Yes. I want to tell Bishop Avely to stay just where he is, because I prefer to see him on the as the opposition than any member of the Democratic Labour Party. You understand what I'm saying? Like his cousin in the household and the family, they don't agree with everything that the family says, and he can still, you know, see what he has to say. Look, the two highest votes in the B's would have been Eswick from NHA and Michael Ashley. And to be honest with you, I don't want to see David Eswick in the opposition benches again. He did nothing. I want to check to see his legacy. All they can tell you about him is he has a good pair of lungs. Because all he used to do is shout. It was a relief to see Mr. Abraham down by the sewage in town, looking and among the people. I never seen Mr. if he was in charge of that part of it. I never seen him out and about, to be honest with you.
It was Eswick and Kelvin that had the highest votes.
Me?
Espik and Kelmon that had the highest votes.
Oh, Espik and Kelmon. I didn't want to see them back at the opposition. So I'm glad that at least gone over. Stay the course, sir. You can still object. If you have to object, call a spade a spade. You understand what I'm saying, ma'am?
I hear you, and I don't know if I understand.
And the thing that a sewage downtown wasn't working for 2 years. My goodness. For 2 years. And I don't understand what people complain about. We had to pay for something. The sewage, for the church running all over the streets. Then the one downtown was about to collapse. Something has to give. But you know what happened? People thought that the honorable prime minister would not have been able to carry out her promises, her election promises, and she was still able to do it. And I want to tell her, continue. We are with you. I am with you. Anything better than having the Democratic Labour Party in power? So I want to say to her to continue doing what she's doing so that we can get out of this mess. That is a mess. If you listen to George Payne yesterday and others in the Senate and the House of Parliament, we are in a mess indeed. And to think that these people did nothing, nothing to the roads, nothing to the buses, the garbage pile up. And somebody could be quarreling with Barbara's Labour Party today. Miss Gail, please have a good day.
Thank you so much. This is Dr. Brass Stacks.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ms. Gail. Good morning, Ms. Gail. How are you this morning?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, I listened to Brass Stacks standing there, and I think it was Shane Lowell. He was speaking about that investor conference. I guess he was addressing that those comments by some callers that basically said that the business people and the union stuff at that time didn't back the DLP, basically didn't sabotage the government. However, he made a statement regarding policy and investor confidence, which is very true, because even before the elections, it was stated on a program on the BBC, I think it was Business Matters, that when a government has uncertain policies, it decreases the confidence of investors both in and outside of the country. What do you say to that?
It's accurate. When you don't know, when there's no certainty, you are not. Yeah, that it's, to me, it's very accurate. And if we take it for ourselves as well, when you have funds in the bank and you're not so sure what's going to happen, what would you do with your funds if you think that this bank is shaky? You're going to take your funds out, and that can lead to instability in the system. So when you have an investor that has a major capital and he has an opportunity to advance two or three investments in varying sectors, and he's not so sure whether these policies are going to, you know, whether the policies of the day of the administration are advantageous or lead to more business confidence or lead to business certainty or lead to what you call a return on your investment, then they can withdraw, and that can lead to some serious instability.
As a matter of common sense, I put in the same category as the RNA people book your capital flight. If they ain't got the comments to the government, they got the money.
it happens.
As long as I'm saying that, yeah. But let me give you something that happened that was said recently. It says that sometimes personality also influences how the people see policy. The personality of the person bringing the policy, or the people bringing the policy, also influences investor confidence. That's another one that came up recently, which I believe is true, because, you know, the other side of saying that this government didn't really communicate with us in the street. That could be also a part of it. Now, as for Bishop Atherley, so far, I'm saying so far I haven't got any problem with it, but I wonder if, being a man of the quote-unquote cloth, he understands what a theocracy really, he would know the true definition of a theocracy, as I would know. Because, you know, I used to have lots of thoughts with Kenna Hatch. And actually, Kenna Hatch got cussed with actually agree with me with a lot of things. Because Kenna Hatch wanted to agree with things which I say. Mm-hmm. But he would know what a theocracy is. And let me give you a little hint. When there was no opposition, we were halfway to a theocracy.
When there was no opposition. It didn't last very long, though.
A dictionary that came from Prince University, which was used to train religious teachers, theologians, priests, everything. This is up inside of our library. It was sent worldwide in 1937. I would pay attention to Asli. Very close attention. You have a good morning.
Thank you so much. A theocracy, a system of government in which priests rule in the name of God, or of a god. And if we remember, in olden days, we call them the Bible days, that's when the theocracies existed, where some people, they asked for a king, and then there was somebody who was king of Israel and somebody who was king of Judah, and you know, that somebody ruled in all of Jerusalem. So those were really theocracies that existed. Moses was the leader of a theocracy. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning. Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
I said, I want to let his barber reply to the coming one after one.
Sorry.
I want to know these barbers where people are calling one after one, tall boy, all those guys, smart. Be a hiding. If I hide it, praise God, my Bible, keep full of bad folks. And then it went, get hard, I keep some Bible, I'm great, country water. Well, really, I'm more risk to sit down and hear. That's it, David, Mr. Johnson. I hear people saying for 10 years, they're quite their party, ain't doing nothing. As much as two weeks. You know, this is going to be crazy. But I get two things about them, quite their party, I've done. Prince St. George, who are part up there, so live. I brought the bus, and the pump was already at Babbage Water. Place where all of us, all don't come from all that, said that, all you wrote. You know? So many can hear people sit down so and say like that. I want these people to talk about to get some on some board or something like that. But and the question, everybody had to ask promoters that I hear one of these this morning. I used to play the ballot. Then they said they make the money. I got to go up to the next table, my ballot and got sent. One dead and go along, and I'm not getting money yet because he's dead and go along. God is great beyond, right? So many of you people talking and stuff and nonsense, one after one coming on. They make his chest know, hold it. But here's that time, I have got two pilots. I want to know because the money was moderated. I go, have a good day here.
Have a good day. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Miss Gibbs.
Hi, good morning. You're on the air. I can hear you clearly.
Yes, I know, yes. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you would have said earlier in your preamble that you congratulate the young persons who would have lived up to the expectations of their parents in terms of the 11-plus results.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I said, and also those who did. Okay. That wasn't the extent of it, but yes, I did say that.
No, because I just wanted to add to that. First of all, I agree with that, but I just wanted to add to that that also the persons who did not live up to the expectation of their parents or themselves, that it's just the beginning of the road and they shouldn't feel them.
I actually went on, and I think I know where you're going. I went on to also add that the commentary that came from the Minister of Education was very rich, because she also mentioned that this doesn't define you.
Exactly.
That is merely an exam, and you know, where the ministry is going and the work towards the schools, trying to build these students who have academic competencies as well as other competencies. So that's where when I said her comments were fully endorsed, that's what I meant. But yes, you go ahead, because your points will be well made.
No, I was just saying that I think that we need to promote that more, mm-hmm. because what I realized, I've emphasized on this for years now, is that, you know, you're somebody if you pass for a so-called break school. But then the persons that do not do as well are somehow left behind. But it's not the end of the road. It's actually beginning, and there's a bright future. But I today...
She herself, if I may, she herself said when she sat the common entrance as minister at that time, she passed for foundation school, and she was privileged that her parents could have transferred her, but they did not transfer her, so she went through to she followed through at the foundation school for all of her school life. And she said it is the decisions that you make as a student and where you go after, etc., and those things help to shape the person you are. Now she's Minister of Education today telling that story. So I thought it was a very wholesome type of discussion on the whole point of, you know, early learners. She didn't use the term early learners, but again, she talked about where somebody may have a strength that may only manifest itself as a teenager and stuff like that. So I thought that was rich. Go ahead.
And you know, two strengths are also manifested when there's a mix between the students in the class. So for instance, I am one that believes that, I believe more so in zoning as in specific sense to living where you live, your location, geography, where you are in the country, mm-hmm. rather than the allocating persons based on the grades. Because when you have that mixture, students who are more proficient in one subject area can help bring along, pull along those that are not. And then the ones that are not, you know, they would then be strong in another area that they could pull along the students who would have helped them in another area, but who are not so strong in another particular area. So the mixture helps to not only share knowledge, but also the bonding experience between students. But Ms. Gill, just quickly, right? I want to come today to seek the indulgence or the help of a lawyer listening in terms of this whole, you know, the Prime Minister, Mia Motley, was saying that the FTC would look at the pricing of items before and after the NSRL to make sure that there's fair competition and what's not. But I was actually, because I heard callers calling with the concern that, and it is true, that there were some corporations who were actually raising the prices of their goods before the NSRL is taken off. And then obviously, you know, if the NSRL is then taken off, the prices would therefore return to what they were when the NSRL was on. Mm-hmm. And I did some searching on the internet, and I found documentation relating to Barbados legislation entitled Miscellaneous Controls. It is CAP 329.
Mm-hmm. I know of that. Yes. I know of it, yes.
First of all, can you tell me if this legislation is still applicable in Barbados?
You're talking about the amendments? Because, you know, over the years there have been. What year are you looking at? Tell me what's the year on it.
That's a good question.
There have been subsequent updates over the years.
The year that I'm seeing on the first paper says 1985. But right. Then there are papers later on that say like 1970 and 1987 and such like that.
And then there as recent as 2007 under the Arthur administration, there was modification to the Miscellaneous Controls Act. Okay. There are different types. Well, some refer to prohibitions. Some refer mm-hmm. to your markups. So there are different types falling within that category. The Ministry of Commerce, though, if you can, call the, I know we can do that. Well, the Ministry of Commerce has oversight for the Miscellaneous Controls Act. There were some that were disbanded or that have, not. The word isn't repealed either, but there are some that have been changed, some that have also been subsumed in a subsequent statutory instrument. In 2004, when I was at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Foreign Trade in the Foreign Trade Division, when we did our first trade policy review in 2002, that was published in 2003, and we had to declare some information out of the same Miscellaneous Controls Act at the time. As you know, things like guns and ammunition and those things you can't bring into the country. So I want you to be very careful in terms of the number so that you know exactly what it is that you're looking at to help define what it is you're looking for.
Let me tell you that I'm very thankful for you for cautioning me in that regard, because my concern was that it talks about a prices commission.
Yes, that no longer exists. We remember Barbados no longer has price controls. We are... Since we joined the WTO, we are members of the World Trade Organization, and we've had to go through varying changes in our trade policy that will bring us compliant with the international standards. So right now we can't decide as a country. The Minister of Finance can't come and say, okay, you can only charge this amount on this particular good, or this good can't enter into Barbados. Or we can't import these things because they're from Canada. You know, we can't just come and unilaterally make decisions like that as a country, given our relationship.
So therefore, my concern then was going to be, since that we do not have the price control measure in Barbados at this moment, mm-hmm. how then will the FTC be able to, you know, charge against a company for abusing the rate to price.
So even although we don't have price control mechanism or price control authority, there's Fair Competition Act, for which the FTC presides. They preside over the Fair Competition Act, and there must be fair competition. So a business owner can't just come and arbitrarily set a price that bears no relevance to the market, bears no relevance to the inputs, and bears no relevance to reality. So he himself has to make sure that he's dealing with what's going on in the marketplace. He is aware, you know, all of the taxes, whatever, that fall in line with what the government of the day says. And so it has to be within some confine and some parameters. So that's where the FTC come in as the consumer police and the Consumer Protection Act as well, so as to protect you and myself when we are purchasing goods.
Right. Well, I hear the music in the background. So what I have to do, I'm going to have to continue this discussion with you because it's a very important discourse that we need to have as a country.
Yes, you can hold. We will go to the regional roundup and we can come back with your discussion. This is Down to Brass Stacks.